Praise his name. Let's all stand, if you will. Let's just bow our heads in the open service. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are truly again so thankful, Lord, to hear the call in our hearts. Lord, have the opportunity to come. Lord, to have health and strength in our bodies. Lord, there's many things and obstacles that can come in our way to keep us from, Lord, fulfilling your word of gathering together. But Lord, we're so appreciative for the opportunity and the ability to come. And Father, I pray that you would just bless everyone that's made the effort. Strengthen us, Lord, as we go through this service, Father, each phase, even the song service, Lord, as it prepares our hearts for your word. May you, Lord, just have your way in our lives. Bless us now. We just pray and thank you for all you've done. In your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Amen. Wonderful. Hallelujah. Turn with me in our big books here. Only believe page 6. Amen. Oh, how I love Jesus. Hallelujah.
There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its word. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. Hallelujah. Oh, that none can bear below.
Amen. Do you love him? Praise him. Hallelujah. Always wonderful. Page 83. Same books there. The Lily of the Valley.
I found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in him alone I see all I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. Oh, when sorrow is my comfort and trouble, fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He all my griefs has taken and all my sorrows borne. In temptation he's my strong and mighty tower. I have all for him forsaken and all my idols torn from my heart, and now he keeps me by his power. Though all the world forsake me and Satan tempts me sore, through Jesus I shall safely reach the goal. Hallelujah, he's a lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He'll never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here, while I live by faith and do his blessed will. A wall of fire about me, I've nothing now to fear. With his manna he my hungry soul shall fill. Then sweeping up to glory, we'll see his blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever roll. Hallelujah, he's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
Hallelujah. Amen. Is he fair, the most fairest thing? Amen. What he's done for us. Hallelujah. Page 249. Same books there. I'm determined to hold out to the end. Amen.
When I first found Jesus, something o'er me rolled. Like lightning it went through me, and glory filled my soul. Salvation made me happy and took my fears away. And when I meet old Satan, to him I always say, oh, I am determined to hold out to the end. Oh, Jesus is with me, on him I can depend. And I know I have salvation, for I feel it in my soul. I am determined hold out to the end. Oh, Satan was so angry, he said he'd soon be back. Just let the path get narrow and he will lose the track. But I'm so full of glory, my Lord, I always find. And I just say to Satan, old man, get thee behind. Oh, I am determined to hold out to the end. Jesus is with me, on him I can depend. And I know I have salvation, for I feel it in my soul. I am determined to hold out to the end. Oh, this old time religion, makes me sometimes shout. I don't have time to gossip, nor any time to pout. They say that I'm too noisy, but when these blessings flow, I shout, oh hallelujah, I want the world to know. Oh, I am determined to hold out to the end. Oh, Jesus is with me, on him I can depend. And I know I have salvation, for I feel it in my soul. I am determined to hold out to the end. Oh, when I hear the trumpet sounding in the sky and see the mountains trembling, amen. Oh, what a day. For Jesus will be calling, there'll be no time to mend. With joy I'll go up singing, I've held out to the end. Oh, I am determined to hold out to the end. Oh, Jesus is with me, on him I can depend. And I know I have salvation, for I feel it in my soul. I am determined to hold out to the end.
Amen. Are you determined? Amen. No matter what comes, amen. Determined to hold to the end. Praise his holy name. Amen. Praise his name. Brother Luke, would you like to come up for the offering? Hallelujah. That's a blessing, if you will.
Lord, we're so thankful for everything you've done for us and pray to take freedom with everything you're saying.
Yes.
Bless this service. Bless this offering for us. In Jesus' name, we pray.
Amen. Let's sing the little chorus. I am determined. I've made up my mind. Hallelujah.
I am determined, I made up my mind. I'll serve the Lord. Oh, I am determined, I made up my mind. I'll serve the Lord. Oh, I'll follow wherever he
determined now than ever. Hallelujah. How many have something on your heart, a request? Amen. Just hold it on your heart. Brother Tim, would you like to take the request?
Heavenly Father, once more, we're just so grateful to be here. And Lord, to be able to see by your mercy and grace that's why we stand here tonight with a joy in our hearts, Lord, and the determination burning in our hearts for to be whatever it is you would have us be.
Yes.
And as we come to this portion, Lord, we just bring the needs before you. Lord, you saw each hand that went up. Lord, we just ask that you would meet the need according to your will. And Lord, those that may be sick or afflicted, Lord, Paul's mother, Lord, and Brother Bobby, Lord, the others that we maybe even forgot to mention, Lord, just keep them in your prayers, Lord, and mold them, Lord, and help them, Lord, whatever you see fit, move in the situation.
Yes.
The Lord, through it all, you would receive the glory and the honor for it. And we just ask a special blessing, Lord, for our brother this evening, Lord, as he brings the word, may he fill the pool from our hearts. Lord, make it easy for him. Lord, just send down the anointing unto our hearts, Lord, to receive of that precious word, and we'll never fail it. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask these things. Amen.
Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Praise.
special song on your heart? Amen. You have another song tonight, Karen? Alrighty. Praise his name. Alright, let's all stand then, if you will. Let's sing a little chorus, Only Believe. Hallelujah. Ask our brother to come.
Only believe.
Bow our heads again for a moment of prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, again we appreciate you tonight, Lord, so very much. So thankful again for what you're doing in our hearts and our lives. And we want everything, Lord, to be just what you want it to be. And we appreciate that, Lord, of the great understanding that you have given a people in this last hour. Oh, God, may we take advantage of it, Lord, and use it wisely. That, Father, we would yield ourselves unto you and that you could get your glory and praise and honor through our lives. And, Father, as we gathered here again tonight, we ask once more that you would speak to our hearts through the Word in the way of understanding and revelation of the Word of God to make it more plain to us that we'd have a greater desire to be what you want us to be. We yield to you now, Father, and ask you just to have your preeminence in all things. In your holy, glorious name we ask, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise his wonderful name. Happy to be back again tonight. Amen. Quite a bit fewer, but we're still here. Amen. And where two or three are gathered in his name, in their midst he would be. You believe that? Amen. I do. With all my heart, I believe it. Let's turn to our scripture we read this morning, John 5, and let's read that once more just to kind of set our little foundation again. John 5, 17 to the 19th verse. Amen. I'll probably not hold you too long tonight. I don't really want to say too much because I don't want to those that ain't here to miss these things. All right, so we find here, but Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he see the Father doeth. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Now may the Lord bless again reading his word, and you may be seated. All right, we find again, this was our example. And if our Lord Jesus Christ, as I said this morning, gave forth that example of would do nothing unless the Father showed him. That's how the prophet said it many times. Again, how much more so should we be in that position with Christ? that we not do anything unless the Word of God shows us. And as I go into this, saints, I honestly believe and can see that we need this more than we realize. Amen. And it's so important. And it's building up to something that I don't want to come to the head of it tonight, but because I want to, as I said, I just want to make sure Moore's here to receive it. You know, I like recordings and all that, but it ain't like sitting here. It just ain't like, you know, being here under the anointing of the Holy Spirit to bring these things out. But I just trust that we'll be able to catch these things and not miss anyone and make sure every person gets it that has need of it. So, in thinking about this again, I want to go in and read some things again the prophet said. Just first, renew your mind back to what the prophet said in the church age book. He said, now notice the harmony of the Father and the Son. Jesus never did anything until it was first showed him by the Father. John 5:19, which is what we read. This harmony is now to exist between the groom and his bride. Now just let that, just dwell on it. You know, just think about it. This harmony is now to exist between the groom and the bride of not doing anything unless we're showed to do it. And, you know, I was thinking about this as I was praying. Of course, he goes on to say, this harmony is now to exist between the groom and the bride. He shows her his word of life. She receives it, and she never doubts it. Now, we realize, saints, you know as well as I do, there is a lot of things happen in life. I mean, there's just constantly things that arise. There's problems that arise. There's trials that arise, tests, and so forth. There's oftentimes we have to make decisions on what to do. Maybe when to do it, maybe what to do with the children, or what to do with the wife, or the wife versus with the husband, and different things, maybe on the job, or there's just something constantly that these opportunities come up to see what we'll do with it. Will it be handled according to the Word, or will it be handled according to our own selfish, as he called it, ambitions? And our selfish wants and the way we would want to do things. Or is there something about us yet? Or maybe as we're going into these things, is there something now beginning to churn on the inside that you really, really see the need in your life that you really need to seek first the kingdom? Seek what he wants in your everyday life, you know? It don't make no difference what it is. It doesn't make no difference. But does he see in us and see it happening in our life that we have got that constant fellowship with him of, what do you want, Lord? What is thy will, Lord? You know? And we can go back in many scriptures, and you can. You can go back and read many scriptures after, again, renewing our minds back to these things and exhorting upon them. And now with these things in mind, and you can go back to many scriptures. I mean, a long ways back into scripture and come all the way back up. And you can see how anybody that God had control of or was dealing with, there was that constant thing there in their life. What do I do, Lord? What do you want? What do you want me to do? Even the great person that Moses was. I mean, and the situation he was put in of being right under the Pharaoh, you know, and had all these things for him gone. And then when he began to see something that was real, he constantly began, oh God, what do I do? What do you think caused him to go to that mountain? He was seeking the will of God. When he come onto that burning bush, he was hunting for God, what God wanted his life. He had realized that what all this finery he had in this great palace wasn't what God wanted in his life. He knew he was not born for that purpose, to live in this palace the rest of his life. So that seeking began to take place. What do you want, Lord? What's the next step? And sometimes circumstances would come up in these men's lives and bring them to that place, to bring them down on their knees, to cry out to God, what's next, Lord? And I think of David, how he, you know, he had his heights in life, he had his low points and everything, but it seemed like something really began to take place when he got a hold of the wrong woman. He took a man's wife, and he had her husband killed in battle. The hottest part of the battle, because in wanting that woman. And then he takes and finally gets her. And then the first child is taken. And he began to weep and mourn and cry. And he was trying to figure out, where did I go wrong? You know? And then he began to seek God greater and greater in his life. And how that has happened so many times in different things with these great men down through the years and the ages that's gone by. They always wanted to know greater what God wanted, and they wanted to make sure the next step they took was the step that God wanted them to take. And even down to the time when our prophet came in this age, you could always see in his life, oh yes, he had a beautiful time starting out, had a beautiful wife to start with, but then you know what happened. The floods came and they got sick and he lost his wife and little Sharon Rose, and Billy himself was sick and all these different things. And my, he really began to see he needed to follow everything God said. He made this mistake listening to somebody else. I'm not going down to those people and preach to them. And from that time on, he began to seek God more than he ever did in his life. I must do what God wants me to do, regardless what anybody else wants me to do. And we don't realize it, but we're all faced in that situation. It may not be in the height and maybe the same pressures and so forth that maybe some of these in the past have done went through. But yet we're all faced with different things in our own personal lives. Will we seek what God's will is through it? Or do we just take and try to claim we're a believer and we're a Christian, and we just try to keep fumbling through life and all the time, at the same time, trying to fulfill my own selfish ambitions of what I want in life, what I want to do in life, where I want to live in life, what I want to buy in life, what decisions I want to do with my family in life, and where I'm going to take them in life, and the places I'll let them go in life, and all these different things. But do we really, are we really able to take the Word of God and back up 100% that what I permit or what I do, the decision I made, can I take it back to that Word and prove it? Or is it my selfish ambition trying to prove to myself I'm okay what I'm doing? This is all right with God. But can you prove it with the Word? That's the thing. And remember this, saints, before I go on. If anybody in this building or any people that's under me in my teachings and my preaching do things, and maybe you sit there and wonder, how, when, why are they doing that? If it was me, I wouldn't do that. I don't want you to first time ever think that I gave them the permission to do it, or they even come and consulted me about it, or anything. Don't think it's me that permitted it. But sometimes you got to give people enough rope to hang themselves, until they'll come to that point that David come to, Moses came to, and these different ones come to. So don't point your finger at me if somebody sitting beside of you is doing things you don't think they should do. And maybe they shouldn't be. Maybe they really shouldn't. If they was in Christ, like they should be, They would never maybe say something they just said to somebody. They may not be the one trying, they may not be trying to stir strife like they are. They may not be going to the places they're going to.
Yeah.
Don't think I gave the permission to do it. Because if anybody ever did ask me anything, I always go back, and if I don't know immediately, I always go back to that word and search it. And if they want my opinion, I try to tell them exactly what the word said. Then it's up to them. And I've done that many times over the years. They'll ask me my opinion, and I'll tell them exactly what the word says that should be done, but they'll still take their own selfish ambition and go ahead and do what they do and want to do. You know? So don't think it's me giving permission for people to do some things they're doing, because it's not. I could get into detail and say quite a few things, but I hope you're spiritual enough to catch these things and understand. Friends, we're in a time where it's proving time. You're going to prove what's really in you, you see. And as the old saying always been said for many, many times, many years, they know one in here is going to go in on the preacher's shirt tail. Not a one. Mm-mm. It's between you and God, what you do. The decisions you make and how much you become a prisoner to that word is all going to hinge what's really on the inside here. These next few days, weeks, months, whatever it may be. It's all going to hinge what's on the inside of how much of a prisoner you'll really become. You say, well, I've got a right. What rights do you have when you belong to the King and He makes all the decisions? What rights do you have? What rights do I have? I have none. You have none. You belong to God. You're not your own. You have been bought with a price, a great price. You're blessed that you're chosen, that you don't belong to yourself. And you can't do what you want to do in life sometimes. Yeah. In Paul, prisoner, but before I say about Moses, I'd like to make this statement that God always has to take any man that will serve Him truly to be His prisoner. A man has to surrender every ambition he's got. Didn't say part of them. Every ambition he's got. Everything that he is. Everything, his life, his soul, body, his will, ambitions, everything else, to become a prisoner. Do we really understand these things? I'm praying to God that He'll reveal to me the full reality of it. He says, God is looking for prisoners. God is looking for prisoners. You know, it wouldn't be very appetizing to be a prisoner to the law of the land and be thrown into prison. And maybe you only have a cell that you're in, maybe 8x8, and all that's in there is a little tiny sink, a little toilet, and a bed to lay down in. Look three ways, and all you see is walls, and the other way you look is bars. It'd be a pretty rough life, wouldn't it? Especially if you was in real high security. And you wasn't permitted to go out into the yard and play basketball with the other prisoners. Maybe play some kind of games, get some fresh sunlight, all those things. Maybe not be given those privileges. That'd be a pretty rough life to be a prisoner to the law of the land. But you know what? The men that's in that state and condition, they can't do anything they want to do. They ain't a whole lot to do. No. They might be given a few books to read. Of course, some, like, it depends on the height of security they're in. But some of them absolutely have nothing. Nothing. They don't even have enough belongings, usually, to have enough necessities to commit suicide. If they think they are attempting it, they don't even get blankets. Lay there in that cold cell, try to sleep. Sometimes we don't, I don't believe, understand really what God is talking about when he talks about this prisoner. You say, well, Brother Steve, that wasn't God, that was Brother Branham. I'm going to tell you it was God trying to show people what it was going to be if you got a real understanding. So he goes on to say, he says, God is looking for prisoners. He's always done it. Always. You might search it through the scripture. A man has to be a prisoner to Christ. And if we just stop and think, even as fine as to go down to just Noah. I mean, could you put yourself in that position? Could you imagine if we just had to stop everything we was doing and start working on a boat that it ain't even rained? And then you start this thing and people start mocking you, making fun of you. But Noah had to become a prisoner to the will of God to build that. Everything else had to be let go. And he had to set his goal on fulfilling what God told him to do. As crazy as it looked, regardless of how many people made fun of him and thought he was just a real nutcase, he still yielded to build that boat. You see? Because God had revealed to him his purpose, what he had to do. He said, a man has to be a prisoner against anything. See, therefore you cannot be connected with anything. Anything. Not a job. Not a home. Not a family. Nothing. Yes, now these things you have to take care of. But connected to it, Christ in such a way that none of these other things or anything else can distract you from doing what God wants you to do or distract you from finding the will of God that he has for you in your life. Even your father, your daddy, yeah, your mother, your brother. Yeah. See, because a natural brother may come along and he may maybe be wanting you to do a certain thing. Yeah. But it may not be the will of God. But being your brother, can he, natural brother, born from the same womb you come from, is he able to entice you to do something that would not be the will of God? Even though it may not be nothing wrong with what he's wanting you to do. But yet, is it the will of the Father at that time? Is that what he wants? Yeah. What if he'd come along? What if my natural brother had come along? And he'd say, brother, I'm on vacation this week. And the only day I've got set aside to be able to do the fishing is on Thursday night. And Thursday, can you go? Selfish ambitions could rise up and say, well, you know, I deserve a vacation day and I deserve to do this and I deserve to do that. You know, I got it coming to me. But did I seek the will of the Father? There might have been going to be something said that night that really would have helped me overcome something. Yeah. It might have been going to be something said that would take and break that last line of me becoming a true prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. But would my selfish ambitions get in the way to want to go fishing and not be there? You see? Would it? Your sister. a natural sister? Would your natural sister, if you have one, would they be able to do anything to cause you to break anything of what God's wanting in your life? Your husband. Oh, wait a minute, Brother Steve. I thought, you know, this hadn't got nothing to do with really, you know, like us women and children and things like this. I thought this was for prophets and preachers. No. This is for everyone in the house. Every one of you. What about your husband? Would he be able to do something to cause you to break what God wants in your particular life at a particular time? Your wife. And he goes on to say, anybody. Anybody. Can somebody come along and, you know, and offer me, Mr. DeLong, I'll tell you what I'll do. You know, you may make so much because you have this shop and so forth, but I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to make you a real deal here. I'm going to pay you $200,000 a year if you'll come and run my shop. But now you'll have to work some evenings because my guys may need some help and they may need this, that, and the other. But you might have to work some evenings. Oh, that'd be pretty nice to make $200,000 a year. Wow, just look at what you could buy. Just look at the nice place maybe you could have. Maybe a real nice, fancy, high-dollar Cadillac, you know? My, I could just go on. And especially if he told you, and I'll give you 50 grand more the next year. Now, would my own selfish ambitions be strong enough to where I would even consider, well, what if it ends up on a Thursday night? What if it ends up on a Sunday? Because the shop's open on weekends. Just what? If. Well, that won't happen to me. We'll put it in mind, you know, and thinking, it's just not going to happen. I need this job. This would really be nice. The selfish ambitions get in the way. Now, I don't want any of you brothers think that I'm talking towards you at all. If you have to miss because of the job. Because sometimes you do. Sometimes you have to. I'm not pointing toward that. But I'm trying to get you to see decisions in life that you make. Your personal decisions. What do you do with it? Are you really a prisoner? Or are you not? What does God do with you as an individual? You know? It may be different with this other one sitting right beside of you. But what do you do as a personal individual with God and your relationship of being this prisoner with Christ? What does it mean to you? You see? He says, you're only connected with Christ and Him only. Then God can use you. Now, I want you to really start paying attention. Then God can use you. We read about all these fantastic things, the Holy Spirit leading the prophet and do this. And this. Even the thing as far as him walking down the sidewalk and the little colored lady at the gate. God couldn't have used him if he wasn't a prisoner. No. It wouldn't have happened. Now we're going to start working towards something. We want God in our life. We want to see the works of God. At least I'm trusting we do. We want to be really led by the Holy Spirit. We want Christ to be seen in our life. We want to declare to this nation as people that Jesus Christ really is alive. That I'm not just a person saying with my lips, I'm a believer, I follow the message, I go to a message church. That just makes me so sick, honestly. Because it don't prove nothing. Absolutely nothing. But it's what Christ will do through you is what proves something and shows to this nation, this people, that He is alive. But we have got to be put in a position and placed in a position, friends, that Jesus Christ will do this through us. And until we reach this place that we're trying to show you by going back into the Word of God, it isn't going to happen. No, it'll not happen. But I don't know about you, but I want Jesus Christ to be seen in my life. Not to make me nothing, no. But I want people to know He is alive today. That it isn't just people sitting in buildings and saying they're following the prophet's message. I don't get it, friend. Not at all. You see? I want people to see Jesus Christ is alive in my life. I want people to see that when a circumstance comes up, I can be turned to follow the Word and not to circumstance swallow me. You see? Oh, it may cost you a great price sometime. Great price. Just like those in the past, down through the ages, it did. A great price. A great price. But do we think we're going to get out of paying great prices today? To be this? You're not going to. Nope. You're not going to. But then God can use you. Until then, you can't. Until you come to this place that I'm talking about and renewing your mind back to, it ain't going to happen. Until you're really a prisoner. And that's for all ages here, friends. Yeah. Teenage, middle age, and the old. Amen. There's nowhere in that Bible you can't find that the young was led. It's there. Then middle age was led. The old was led. It's all right in there. Yes. For our example. Our admonition to prove He will be the same today as He was yesterday and shall be forever. See? He says, going out, sometimes I speak rough to people. I'm trying to get you to cut loose. You've got to have a starting place. Like sometime calls out, I caught women bobbing their hair and wearing these clothes and holding. He says, and hold and maintain their Christian profession. He said, you say, well, that's a little thing. Well, you've got to start somewhere. So begin right there in your ABCs and cut loose of the worldly looks anyhow and become a prisoner to Christ. Yeah. Cut loose of those worldly looks. Yeah. And sometimes the men's just as bad as the women. They want to wear pink shirts and pink shoes and have nice groomed beards and mustaches and everything to look like some star on TV. Yeah. Oh, my. They ain't got the right picture, friends. The prophet was our example. But they can't see it. Till finally the last line is cut loose. Then, he says, you're a prisoner. When the last line is cut loose that holds you from doing everything God wants you to do, and you'd be this person that you're seeking His will in your life constantly. Constantly. Nonstop. Constantly. You rise out of bed in the morning. What is your will for me today, Lord? What is your will for me? Yes, my job, I must go to work and provide for my own, or I'm worse than an infidel, which is an unbeliever. But Lord, is there anything maybe even on the job that maybe, Lord, is there maybe one of my buddies you want me to talk to today? Lord, if there's an opportunity that arises, please don't let me miss it. Do you pray like that? Do you, sisters, when you get up in the morning with your children, maybe there's a certain thing going on in a certain child's life. And you're asking, Lord, if there's something in one of my children that they need an extra boost with, a helping hand of understanding or dealing with them, please reveal it to me, Lord. Please show me. Do we seek His will? Or we just get up in the morning and just run? And a day is spent, and God wasn't even in our life. Oh, we might have said a little five-minute prayer. We might even got up in the morning and say, I love you, Lord Jesus. But when it comes to the rest of the day, are we seeking His will to be fulfilled in our life? Like these men of old did. God. till finally the last line is cut loose. Then you're a prisoner. You become in his grip. He's got you in his grip then. Oh, may he get us all in his grip. If we could only keep that in our mind. So am I off saying these things? He said himself, if we could only keep that in our mind. And according to the word of God, that in these last days, he's going to have a church. He's going to have a people. Let me be one of them. Oh God. And these things that he promised, he's going to do them. He said he would. And we're living in that time. We're there. He's just trying to get us to be real prisoners now and locked in with him. Locked in. Remember, when you're locked in, you don't get out. You're not locked in one day and unlocked the next. You're locked in for good. Now, he can start using you. But as long as you keep unlocking yourself with your selfish ambitions, he'll never use you. You may think, well, I sing, or I do this, or I get up and I preach, and I do this, and I do good things for people. Friends, you got to be locked in, regardless of what good things you may do. You got to be locked in, where every day he's got a hold of you, and you're under his preeminence, his control. Could you imagine what our Lord Jesus Christ would have got done expressing if he wasn't locked in every day? But his life proved he was locked in every day. And once that prophet found that place in Christ, he was locked in every day. I don't care if he was out there hunting. Locked in. Locked in? Oh, yes, constantly. What about when they was hunting javelina hogs and he happened to get the biggest one? But he seen this old man over here needed a new gun, and that was the prize to get this gun. And he didn't want that hog of his to get out of the truck because he wanted this old man to get the gun because he needed a new gun. He was locked in every moment of his life. Are we locked in every moment of our life? And by not being, is that why we'll say things that hurts? That strife, envy? Is that why we'll make decisions that, who cares if there's church tonight? I'm going to do this. Who cares? I don't care. I got it coming to me. Is that what the will of the Lord is for you? That might be for this other brother. But did you seek the will of God if that's what you were supposed to really do? What if by chance, just what if, that decision, your selfish ambition, you made that decision, and something came that night that would have set you free once and for all. And you missed it. Well, we got the tapes, Brother Steve. And then you sit down, listen to the tape. And then all the time you're sitting there listening to the tape, you're thinking about, what am I going to do tomorrow? Maybe the children's screaming. Maybe the husband's hollering, I want this done, I want that done. Can you help me do this? Can you help me do that? And all the time you're distracted. And you no more caught really what was said on that tape than anything. And it might have been the very thing that finally you would have received. You say, oh, Brother Steve, God wouldn't let that happen. Well, why did he let these things happen to these men that did happen to him? Why did David's first child die? Why did Moses run into the problems he ran into at times? He wasn't fully locked in yet. What happened when Brother Bram did what he did? He made the decision he did from what his mother-in-law said. He wasn't locked in yet. But once they're locked in, look out. Then God's going to use them all the way. You see? I'm telling you, saints, as young people, middle-aged, and old, we all need to be locked in with Jesus Christ, regardless of what you think.
regardless of how high you think you are right now, how great and almighty you set with God you think, you better find this place of being locked in with God 100%. Because until then, you're no good, and neither am I. Absolutely no good for His use. But He's got something wonderful for us if we'll get locked in. Glorious. Great. If we'll get locked in. Have you got that love in your heart for Him that'll lock you in? That's where we'll stop. Do you have that love? I repeat, that will lock you in. That you'll not let go. You can't. I trust, saints, that you're listening and you're weighing yourself in God's Word. As I said, I get tired of seeing things, friends, that hundreds and thousands of people follow this message and they don't have a clue what that message is about. A prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was something about today that just made me sick to my heart. Message preacher. And here is his wife wearing those pockets and zippers. And telling people how to live. People need locked in, friends. They need locked in. Tight tops shows the very shape of the bosom. They need locked in, friends. But they can preach this message, friends, much greater than I can. Fiery, exciting. But do they have anything? Are they really prisoners of the Lord Jesus Christ? Where they can really find the mind of Christ and walk in it and stay locked in it. Toward ain't their selfish ambitions being fulfilled in their life. Dear Lord, what is God thinking of all this when He has so graciously given us these messages? But may the Holy Spirit take these messages like Paul Prisoner and dissect it and place it in our hearts that we understand exactly what God wants. Oh, yes, don't say you're fanatic. You're in fanaticism, brother. Go ahead. I'd rather be on that side of the fence than not go far enough with God. Amen. I believe God will have more mercy. Yes. But it's not fanaticism. By no means. It's just understanding truth and desiring to live by it all the way. So Lord, help us as individuals. Amen. That our everyday decisions we have to make in life will be lined up with that word. 100%. Locked in every moment, every day, every hour. Locked in with Jesus Christ. And if we come to that point, friends, God's going to do something. God will do something. He'll be able to use somebody. And He'll fulfill His word. And manifest His promised word through us. Lord, let me be one of them. Amen. Help me, Lord Jesus. Help me to see this more and more than I ever have seen it in my life. Help me to see it. Please give me the revelation, Lord, I pray. You know,
Amen. I trust that you will follow me as I follow Christ.
Amen.
And if this be right, he will vindicate it so. But it has to be right because his prophet said it. Yes, his prophet spoke it. But can we see it? You answer the question in closing. Won't you, sisters, come on up? Some of us in here is getting of age, ain't we? Some of us in here has heard these messages for 40 and 50 years. I've heard these messages, friends, since I was about 10 years old. 10, 11 years old. Yeah. That's been, what, 40-some years. Can I look anywhere and really see a prisoner? We seen one and he passed away. He was killed in a car wreck. Yeah. In 1965. Can we find any other prisoners? If you sit there, friends, and live in your own selfish ambitions and sit there and try to tell me or God himself that you're a prisoner, I feel sorry for you. You don't understand yet what it is. Oh, my. But he wants to reveal it to you if you listen to the Holy Spirit. Yeah. He's trying to find those prisoners. After all these years, he's trying to find them. Yes. Again, I hope he finds one right here. Because I'm not there yet. Not like I want to be. Not like I'm seeing this. Yes, and the Holy Spirit has led me to do many things, different times. And it vindicates that it's the Holy Spirit because it's exactly what he told me to do, how to do it, when it happens. I know it's the Holy Spirit because he vindicates it. But yet, I got a long ways to go. A long ways to go. I see this in a much greater, more powerful way. Help me, Lord, to be one. I would say things, friends, that happen right here in this congregation, but I don't want to hurt you. But I am trusting that the Holy Ghost will get a hold of your heart and speak to your heart and show you how you're not a prisoner yet. A prisoner won't even open his mouth until God lets him. If it doesn't benefit God or benefit something that's right or make sure it's right and it's clean and it's right with God, it's okay with God that you speak it, you don't even want to speak it. No. That's why so many people still just spout things off that hurts their brother or sister or downgrades them, makes them look bad. Because I'm not yet a prisoner. That's why maybe we'll make decisions of maybe buying certain things. Yeah. Maybe why we'll go places that we should never go. Even not at the point, maybe such a thing that it was wrong to be there, but it wasn't God's will at that time for you to be there. Prisoners, locked in. I tried to give you as a simple illustration this morning as I could by doing what I did with that rope. Our brother couldn't do anything unless I pulled it this way, that way, this way, this way. Yeah. The leadership of God. You see. Help us to desire it at least, Lord.
May there be a desire in our hearts for it to reach this place. Oh my. I don't know what else to say. I mean, I'm going to bring more if he permits and be his will. Because there's a place I want to move into with this, what this brings. But will we be ready for it? Maybe we need time to grow on it before I bring it. Maybe we need time to pray about it before we move into it. Amen. Saints, this is serious to me. This is between life and death. Yes, it is. And you may sit there and still think, well, it's an option to become a prisoner. Prove to me in the Word where it's an option. If you're a bride of Jesus Christ, you have to be. No maybes about it. You have to be. And to not even long for it or want it, I feel sad for you. It's sad to not even want it and desire it in your life, you see. And saints, I know I'm not the most pleasant person to listen to. I know that. I understand that. But I'm always trying to be honest with you. I'm always trying to make sure you can catch and have the opportunity to catch the reality of really what was said, what that prophet brought. What good is it going to do us if we're going to be like a lot of these other message believers? What good is it? Honestly, saints, there's message churches out there, honestly, and God knows. I'd rather go to a holiness church than I would go walk in some of them doors. I really would. To see the hypocrisy, the unbelief, the mockery that comes forth by following that message. I'd rather step into something else, friends. Like I told you a while back when I went to that little holiest church I went to. That worship in that little church was better than a lot of message churches. And the people were sincere. They were sincere with what they had. Really worship the Lord. Yes. Not a bunch of nonsense. But really worship the Lord. And I think, Lord, what has this message turned into? What has it turned into? There's got to be a truth come out of it somewhere. Saints, let's pray. Let's pray that God will get a hold of all our hearts and help each and every one of us to be what he wants us to be a true prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. That before you make your decisions in life, and we've always got decisions to make, we've got things we must do and places to go and things to take care of, but we'll always be in that state of mind. What is your will for me, Lord? Jesus himself said, I can do nothing unless the Father shows me first. Jesus himself. How much more should we be that way? Nothing. But we're used to just running on our own and doing what we want to do and make our own decisions and all these different things. But Lord, help us. Don't mean to hold you long, saints, but I never know when it'll be the last time we gather together. I don't know that. I don't know when the last time will be that maybe one of you will be taken. Or I may be taken. I don't know. We don't know. So just think if maybe this was the last time one of you was going to be here, but when you went home tonight, there was something that was really tearing at your heart and pricking your heart. And you cry out to God, oh Lord, forgive me for being so unmindful of your will in my life. Forgive me. From this day forward, Lord, help me to be a true prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. and then maybe during the night you may pass on. Your heart may stop just like that. Then it'd been worth it all to be here and spend a few extra moments, wouldn't it? Yes, it would. Let us all stand. Amen. Do you think it's worth it all?
Amen.
Do you really think it's worth it all to be this kind of child? To serve him through? Regardless how bad the jail cell looks at times? Is it worth it to you? It is to me, because this life's temporal. Yes, I'm going to a heavenly home. Amen. It's bright and fair. Amen. It's worth it all to be his child, to serve him through each last long mile. It's worth it all to feel his power and know he keeps us every hour. Sing it again. It's worth it all to be his child, to serve him through each last long mile. It's worth it all to feel his power and know he keeps us every hour. Let's bow our heads. Precious Heavenly Father, again we thank you for your precious word. And I'm asking again, Lord, I know I ask you a lot, but I have no one else to turn to, Lord, but you. But I'm asking you again that you'll take these words and really place them in our hearts. That, Lord Jesus, we can really truly become those prisoners that you're looking for. Lord, I trust you'll be able to find me, oh God, and say, there's a prisoner. There's a prisoner now that's truly surrendered to me. Oh God, let me be one of them. May that be the desire of every heart here, Lord. And those that couldn't be here, may it be that desire. Oh God, how I appreciate you. Love you with all my heart. Just take us over now, Lord, and help us to commit ourselves to you, Lord, that you can truly have this preeminence in our lives. And we thank you for this day you've given us. We appreciate the opportunity, but Lord, may it not be in vain. But, oh God, may it change something in our lives. From this day forward, something changed, and it's begun to change like it never did before. Help us now. We ask in your glorious name. Watch over us again, we ask. Protect us. Keep us safe, Lord. And bring us back again the next appointed time, if you should tarry. Lord, we don't know what day it'll be, but it's going to be not for too long. So bless us now. In your holy name, we ask these things. Our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Thank you, Lord. Are you sure it's worth it?
Amen.
You know, it's been said before, too, it didn't promise us a bed of roses. No. To be a prisoner, it's not maybe going to be the easiest thing to do sometime. It'll be against flesh, senses. But oh my, it'll yield something great in our life if we'll just surrender. Amen. May God bless you. You're dismissed. Amen. It's worth it all.